Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Final Point. Lot to get into. I'm just going to dive right into it. I think I'm going to start off with boxing. We're going to switch it up. Usually I jump on the NBA. Boxing. I watched the Deontay Wilder fight. My phone was ringing off the hook because they wanted to know what my thoughts were on the fight. I think I talked about this in my last podcast was, why is Dominic Brazil even fighting Deontay Wilder? That's the question. I don't see how he's the mandatory fighter. I don't even see how he is the number 4 ranked heavyweight in the world. I don't. Not at all. Because you're telling me he's the number 4 ranked heavyweight in the world amongst all the other top contenders who probably wouldn't have gotten knocked out in the first round. And not to say that they wouldn't have, just to say people want to see a great boxing match, whether no matter what network it's on, they want to see a great match. Nobody wants to see somebody get knocked out in 2 minutes and 58 seconds. I don't want to see that. I didn't even think the fight was even worth looking at. And I spoke about that. Deontay Wilder, more so than anything, did what everyone thought he would do anyway. So, as a boxing fan, and I'm sure most of my listeners are, that's not a surprise. Now we move forward, and I invite everybody to go to YouTube and look at the post interview that they had with Deontay Wilder, where his management was able to speak, and they talked about what they offered Joshua and what they offered some of the other top fighters. And if you listen to it, it kind of ties back into what I said the last segment that I had, or my last episode, where I talked about it's still a business. No matter what we want, no matter what the people want to see, it's still a business. And they offered Joshua some money. He didn't want it. They offered Fury anything he wanted, anything, to get that rematch done. He was scared. And now he's on Instagram, YouTube, talking about Deontay Wilder's the number 2 heavyweight. When clearly, in my personal humble opinion, at the last minute, the last round, Deontay Wilder won that fight, and they could have gave that to him. Not to say that they give it to him because, you know, they felt he won. We know he won, in my opinion. So going forward, we're going to see Anthony Joshua June 1. We'll see what he can bring to the table. We'll see what's going on with AJ and see what he's got. He'll probably knock out Ruiz in short order. I don't even think that fight's going to even last. I don't think it goes 4 rounds. You heard it first. That's my projection. It doesn't go 4 rounds, period. Gary Russell Jr. I like Gary. He's a good fighter. That dude can fight. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And as a boxing fan, I'm not discrediting anything that he's either achieved already or already done, right? Not doing that. But now he's calling out Gervonta Davis, Leo Santa Cruz. You know what? Leo Santa Cruz is a tough fighter. I think that would be really good for Gary. I think calling out Gervonta and then, you know, saying, hey, and I have a lot of respect for Gary Russell. I'm going to tell you, let me start by saying that, because it takes a real man to say, you know what, I'm going to vacate my title and then move up and wait to fight Gervonta Davis if the opportunity was there. You got to respect that. You call somebody out. You never said, hey, you want to fight me? You got to come down and wait. He's like, nah, I'll go ahead and let my belt go. Vacate it. I'll move up and wait and fight you. You got to respect that. You do. I have to take my hat off to Gary Russell on that one. But going forward, I say, hey, Leo Santa Cruz will probably be the better fit for him as far as, you know, making that fight happen first and then maybe Gervonta. But shout out to Gary Russell as far as his last fight, which was on Saturday. He stopped the guy. You know, what can you say? You know, he's still the guy. And in the interview, listening to Gary, I don't think he's necessarily, you know, trying to like be disrespectful or dogging fighters. He's just saying, hey, where's the competition at? Where are the fighters at? You know, let's make some things happen. And you know, he's a fighting champion. You know, he doesn't want to fight once a year. He wants to fight maybe once every 6 months or so. You know, maybe twice a year. There's only 12 months in a year. So, you know, you got to respect that. Gervonta Davis, my guy. Tevin Farmer, I see he's still on the Instagram. Still blowing that smoke. And see, here we go again. You know, I'm not trying to compare him to Dominic Brazil. But look, bruh. You still blowing that smoke, you know, and but then you don't want the smoke, but you blowing it. So I don't know how soon that fight's going to happen. It's going to happen, and I can't wait for it to happen so I don't have to hear this guy no more run his mouth. I don't have to hear it no more because I'm like real sick of it. But when you look at Gervonta Davis, they're saying he's overweight, this and that. To me, we understand when he gets in a camp, that's not the way he's going to look. Mayweather Promotions, it's clear and cut. It's like, hey, Gervonta Davis knows when he goes to camp, he's going to be in the best shape, ready to go. Ready to go. So I hope Tevin Farmer knows what he's doing. I don't know if this is a publicity stunt or just what, but this dude, I'm going to tell you right now, Tevin Farmer don't have a chance in beating Gervonta Davis, period. I don't care what nobody say. He does not. I've seen him in his last fights. There's just no way. There's no way. I'm telling you now. I keep hearing the Pacquiao, Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman's going to get beat. He's going to get beat. Simple as that. And I'm going to tell you why. The two fighters make a great match, but it's not about skill. See, you got skill versus experience. Manny Pacquiao has the experience. And like Mayweather says all the time, experience plays a major key in fights. And it shows every single time. Every single time. Manny Pacquiao is going to counter all those mistakes that Keith Thurman makes that we see, whether it's on pay-per-view or PBC box and whatever, you're going to see it. You're going to see it right away. Right away. So this is going to be a good year, exciting year for boxing. I'm looking forward to these matches. Hopefully we get to see Wilder. Hopefully we get to see Gervonta Davis fight Tevin Farmer sometime. There's still a lot of fights out there with Lomachenko. So, you know, it's a numbers game, and it's what makes sense for the fighters. And again, it's still a business. Shifting gears. I want to get into the Magic Johnson thing because I heard his interview early this morning. I actually woke up early this morning to hear what he had to say as far as how he handled his position as vice president of operations with the Lakers. And I understand his reasoning for stepping down. I just don't agree with the way he handled it as far as LeBron James. We got LeBron James based on Magic Johnson, not Rob Pelinka. If you listen to the interview, it basically comes down and talks about how the Lakers organization, there's no foundation there, obviously. There's nobody that is in charge, but you have a lot of chiefs and not enough Indians. The problem is we have Jeannie Buss as the top person, meaning she's the owner. So First of all, we have the wrong person that's owning the team in the first place. That's number one. Number two, you have a basketball agent as the guy that's making all the decisions. This is a guy who represented Kobe Bryant at one particular time. That's it. That's all you have. He has no GM experience. He has no coaching experience. He has no president experience, vice president experience. He has nothing. Nothing. And this is who you have making decisions because he was Kobe Bryant's agent. They were better off saying, look, you know what? Let's make Kobe Bryant the vice president of operations. Let's just do that. Because you're listening to him anyway. Magic Johnson still, you got to give him a lot of credit. Even in the interview, he still had a lot of composure as far as his feelings and still was able to handle everything with class. Now, you talk about Frank Vogel. What is my thoughts on Frank Vogel? I think he's a decent coach. Is he a great coach? Absolutely not. You hire Frank Vogel over Ty Lue. Why? Ty Lue is a championship coach. Ty Lue is the only coach that's ever took down the Warriors. The only coach to ever do it. So, what did Frank Vogel do? And that's the reality of the hire, is we got it backwards. And same thing with the way they did Luke Walton. I think Luke Walton did the best he could with what he had to work with. But the way the Lakers organization handled it, that wasn't cool. That wasn't cool at all. So, and I'm a diehard Laker, so that's why it pains me. So, at this point, we're all screwed up across the board. And then you have so many different people from the organization that's got their hands in the cookie jar. That's got that they everybody has a say. That's the problem. Everybody has a say. It's not about making people within the organization happy. It's about doing what's best for business, what's best for the team. What is really best for the team? Is what's best for the team hiring Frank Vogel, or is what's best for the team hiring Lou? Lou is the best coach you can get at this point. And I'm not taking anything away from Jason Kidd, because I'd rather have Jason Kidd as the head coach than Frank Vogel any day of the week. But I don't even think Frank Vogel's going to last anyway. So I think my theory as far as Jason Kidd being the head coach eventually is going to be there. Now, Anthony Davis. I keep hearing that. Number one, Anthony Davis is not worth going after right now. At least from the Lakers standpoint, I'm going to tell you why. Because when you look at it between us and Boston, as far as us the only two that could probably get him at this point, when I look at it from that standpoint, Boston has the draft picks. Okay? But they don't have the players on the roster, meaning that they don't have a top point guard. They may be able to get Rozier, but Rozier is a free agent. So he's not available. Kyrie Irving's going to opt out. He's going to be a free agent. He's not available. So when you talk about trading, what assets do you have other than the bad contract they gave Gordon Hayward, other than the fact that they have Tatum? I don't see who else you're gonna take. So they don't have the players as far as a solid young core. They don't have it. The Lakers got it because you can throw Lonzo Ball, Kuzma, and Ingram, package that up with a couple of draft picks and call it good. That's probably what the best you're looking at. Now, in my personal opinion, I believe that they should have traded him to the Lakers last season. Because I think the value, I think the long-term value, and I think that he was more valuable last year than he is this year. Because now teams are saying, look, you know what? If you're not going to trade him to us, we'll probably get him in the offseason anyway. So now that's going to leave the Pelicans without nothing. You get no draft picks, you get nothing. You might get some cap relief, but David Griffin, the GM there, is smarter than that. So we'll see what he ends up doing, because this is going to be a real chess game, I'll tell you that. Going forward, the Lakers will not hire a VP of operations. Well, we know why. You know why they're not going to do it? Because Rob Pelinka is making all the decisions. And in free agency, is that going to be a factor? Yes and no. And I'm going to tell you why. If Rob Pelinka is making the decisions, it's going to backfire. But I believe that LeBron James is going to go backdoor. And what I mean by that is, if you look at everybody who signed to Clutch Sports, which is who LeBron James is signed to, his agency. Draymond Green just signed with them earlier. Anthony Davis signed with them earlier. I think having a meeting outside of the Lakers organization as far as teaming up, I think that's where the deals are going to get done. I don't think Rob Pelinka can sign anybody, in my opinion. Because if you're a free agent, and from a free agency standpoint, is the Lakers a tractable destination other than the fact that they have LeBron James? Absolutely not. I wouldn't even consider the Lakers, honestly, if I'm a free agent. Only for the fact that it's not attractable. Our organization is all screwed up, so no, I wouldn't. But I'm not saying Draymond Green's coming to the Lakers or anything like that. I'm just saying everybody talks amongst each other outside of basketball. So don't think LeBron James is not recruiting outside of basketball. So that could play a factor in free agency also. Tyreke Evans, I kind of want to touch on this. I've seen Tyreke Evans at the University of Memphis. He was an excellent player. He was really good with the Kings. He moved around a little bit, but he made his way in the NBA, and he's a good player, good solid player. I would love to have him on the Lakers right now. He's banned for 2 years. My whole thing is this. What we fail to realize as athletes is it is a privilege to be in professional sports. It's a lot of talent out there that just didn't make it, and that would do anything to maintain a certain level of being that athlete, to be able to excel in whatever professional sport you chose to be a part of. And we got Tyreke Evans messing up. So he's out the league for 2 years. The thing that athletes got to understand is that you guys are going to be drug tested all the time. It's not worth it. You're losing millions of dollars. It's not worth it at the end of the day. And what this tells me is that people don't value the sport that they love to play, that they gave their whole life for. You gave your entire life to the sport, and it comes down to a banned substance, and you're out the league for 2 years? That's what it comes down to? I don't understand. I have a hard time understanding it. I get it. You know, we all make mistakes, but still, you know better. You know what you're putting in your body if it's a banned substance. Even if you're smoking weed or whatever, you know what you're putting in your body. So you gotta take some responsibility for that. Come on, Tyreke, we gotta be better than that, man. I also want to touch a little bit more on this draft, and I want to just be clear on some of these draft picks. Now, of course, you know we have New Orleans; they're number one. We also know the Lakers have 4, Knicks have 3, Memphis has 2, Cleveland has 5, and Phoenix has 6. I also wanted to introduce some of the players that's going to be drafted throughout this draft. Zion Williamson is probably going to more so, you know, get drafted by the Pelicans if the Pelicans don't trade the pick. I don't think they're going to trade the pick. I think Zion is stuck in New Orleans unless he comes out and says that's not where he wants to play. Ja Morant out of Murray State. He's going to be headed to Memphis Grizzlies. The question that I want my listeners to also think about, too, is that with them signing Morant, What does that do to Connelly? Does that make him an expendable? And if it is, how do you trade that big contract? Because it's going to be hard to move that money. So they're either going to have to eat some of that cost. They're going to have to do something over there. Because there's no way that's just going to be a simple salary dump. I don't think so. RJ Barrett going to the New York Knicks. I like that. But only if they can re-sign DeAndre Jordan and some of the other pieces that they have there. I think New York can improve to more than just 17 wins. DeAndre Hunter, number four. He's the number four ranked player on the board. I think more so the Lakers will probably draft him. You got Cam Reddish. Looks like he's going to end up going to Cleveland. And then you have the Phoenix Suns selecting Darius Garland, point guard out of Vanderbilt. So a lot of there's a lot of good picks here. Then you got to look at Boston's pick. So the Boston is pretty loaded here. They have the number 14th pick, 20. So they have 14, 20, 22. And then in the second round, they have pick number 51. So they have three draft picks, but only one of them became lottery. So the top 14, I believe, is lottery. If you're in the top 14, that's lottery. Brooklyn Nets, they got the 27th and 31. So basically Boston, Brooklyn, San Antonio, Atlanta has a double first round pick. So Brooklyn has 27 and 31, San Antonio has 19 and 29, and then Atlanta has 8 and 10. Atlanta has two first round picks, and they can get two of the top 10 picks in this draft, which is excellent, which is an excellent deal because now they can build. They can have a young core in Atlanta if they don't trade out of the pick. But it has to be worth the trade out of the top 10. So it has to be a deal for me. If I'm Atlanta, it has to be a deal that I just can't refuse out of the top 10. So they have 8 and 10. Philadelphia has only, they have a first round pick. But then all they have in the second round is 33, 34, 42, 54. So they have four second round picks and one first round pick, and that's at number 24. It's going to be interesting how these teams shuffle their picks around and how they may move up or down to maybe acquire a pick for next year and to maybe move down to maybe get a player that they thought they were going to get anyway. So it's definitely going to be interesting. And we'll see how that plays out. The Washington Wizards have number 9. And in my opinion with the Washington Wizards is that they're just going to have to gut the roster down. And they're just going to have to start over. If they're going to be in a rebuilding mode, now's the time to reassess the roster and say, look, you know what? This is not working. Maybe trade some guys out and build for the future. Atlanta's already doing that. Chicago has a 7th pick. And what I'm hearing is Chicago will love to have Lonzo Ball, and they're willing to trade the 7th overall pick in this draft for Lonzo Ball. I would make the trade, in my opinion. I would make the trade. So that would give the Lakers flexibility. So now the Lakers would have 4 and potentially have the 7th pick. So that's 2 first round picks in this draft. Now, what does that mean for New Orleans? Is New Orleans interested still with maybe the Lakers having 4 and 7? So if the Lakers hypothetically were to trade their 4 and 7 picks that they acquired, now New Orleans would have 1, 4, and 7. Which is definitely intriguing for an Anthony Davis trade. But I don't believe that you trade the entire farm for one player. Doesn't make sense. I also wanted to hit the NFL a little bit. So I'm going to switch over. The Jets fire their GM and replace with Adam Gase. NFL fans, that doesn't make sense to me. You know, you have a coach. Again, you have a coach who does not have any experience in making decisions at that level, and now he's running the show, but you fire your GM. Makes sense. It doesn't make sense. And the sad part about it is the GM that was fired was the one that hired Gase. I tell you, there's a lot of backstabbing in this league. And they did not want to sign Le'Veon Bell. Okay, so my question is, who was better on the free agent market? Who was better? Because you're in the AFC East, you got to have guns when you're in that division. You got to have guns because the key is to beat the world champion Patriots every chance you get. So how do you plan on doing that? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. So you have to question, as fans, we got to question some of the decisions that these teams make as far as hire and fire and all that kind of stuff. It's really sad and ridiculous. The NFL is going to be very, very intriguing as far as, you know, who people sign, who people pick up. I keep hearing about the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys have done the best that they can in free agency. I don't think anything's wrong with our offense. I just feel like we need to get, you know, more defense and we have to get healthy. And I think once we can do that, I think we'll be a much more improved team. I think we can win the NFC East again. I keep hearing about the Raiders. I think the Raiders have a lot more to prove. I think we've already seen what the Chargers can do. We have already seen what Kansas City can do. So there's no need to question that. So we understand that those two are probably going to win the division. One of the two, rather, is going to win the division. I keep hearing about Green Bay. I'm telling you now about Green Bay is that Green Bay didn't do anything to improve the team they had last year. They did nothing. As far as Chicago Bears, they're on the right track. They're still going to be sharp. They're still going to be solid. They're still going to be tough to beat. Jacksonville Jaguars, I like the fact that they were able to get rid of Bortles, their quarterback. The guy sucks. And that's just the bottom line to that. You know, they brought in a Super Bowl winning quarterback, which is great. A lot more, you know, he has a lot more experience. And hopefully, offensively, the Jaguars can be much better than they were last year. Washington Redskins, I like the fact that they got Haskins over there. I have this feeling he's going to tear it up over there in Washington. It's just too bad he's in our division and we got to deal with him twice a year. But he's going to be tough. He's going to be tough. I don't know how the Giants are going to look. If you look at their roster, they look like they're going to be in the top 10 again as far as draft picks because I don't see them winning a whole lot of games. I can tell you that right now. And I think that the biggest thing that they're waiting on is for Eli Manning to get out of there. So they're just waiting on that, you know. And plus the cap for him is $20 million this year. So we'll see what happens. Going forward, you're looking at the Browns. The Browns, I think, have done enough to make the playoffs. I'm not sure if they've done enough to win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl because I think that's a whole nother level for them. But I think they've made some great strides and I think they've made great changes for the future to be able to make that an attractable destination for, you know, anybody to come near to Cleveland and want to play in Cleveland. Cleveland's cold. That's a cold city. But right now they're on the right track. They're definitely on the right track. San Francisco 49ers. Still not impressed. They still have... I feel like San Francisco has to show something. You know, I saw a lot of promise last year with some of the players, Mozart, some of the running backs they had last year. I think they're going to have to put that together and figure it out. They're going to... I like what they did. They drafted Bosa. I believe they picked up D Ford. So they're addressing the defense. I think they're coming on slowly but surely. Maybe San Francisco can improve from last year. We'll see. We will definitely see where they are. My expectations is not that high for them. and it can't be. But as a 49er fan, because you know I'm a Cowboys fan, but as a 49ers fan, for those that are fans out there, I don't have the high expectations just because you can't. At the rate that they're going, you can't. Hopefully, Atlanta Falcons can get better. I think they were one of the most disappointing teams, in my opinion. You go to the Super Bowl roughly 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was, and you blow your chance against the Patriots. So hopefully they've made some necessary changes since then to become a better team out there in the NFC South. Because we know New Orleans, they just find a way to do it. I don't know. I don't know how they do it. New Orleans Saints, boy, I'm telling you. You look at their roster and you say, wait a minute, they ain't going to do anything. And then they fool around and guess what? They're like in the NFC Championship game or something like that. So that must be a great organization down there in New Orleans. Those Rams, LA Rams, I think the Rams are going to be even stronger than what they were last year. I don't think they understood just how good they were yet. I think they understand that now. I think they added, you know, Clay Matthews, a couple other guys that they added. So I believe that they're going to be, you know, they're going to be stronger than they were last year, for sure. I think it was a learning experience. The Super Bowl was a learning experience for them. And at this rate, I would say, I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. I think this is going to be their year. I believe so. Only for the fact that they lost to a team that they should have beat. However, they lost to a team that wins almost every year anyway. So, on paper, the Rams are a better team, clearly. But history, the Patriots, they're hard to beat. And they're not really known for their draft picks. They're known for their fifth and sixth round draft picks. People you never even heard of. People you thought wouldn't even get drafted. And they're like top stars. So be on the lookout for those Patriots. I don't doubt they're going to be back in the playoffs again next year. That's my time for today. Tune into another episode of The Final Point. You guys have a terrific day.